Today's episode of Locked On MLB is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk about sports.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 15th day of April 2021, get your taxes in. We are going to be talking a little bit about a no-hitter that I did not predict. Some of the problems of the new rules that want to address pace of play because it's not really addressing pace of play. And, of course, it's Jackie Robinson Day. And I have a few thoughts about the legacy of Jackie Robinson and the segregation and integration of baseball in general. This show is available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to find us on Twitter, go to Locked On MLB Pods. If you want to find me, I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And hey, we're rounding third, heading for home. I'm vaccinated, got my two shots in, and some of you are getting vaccinated out there. Let's be smart. Let's not be dumb. We're going to get to there. We're almost there. But don't be dumb. Still wear your mask. Do the right things. And when you're staying at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. Hey, I predicted a no-hitter today. Yes, I'm still doing my no-hitter predictions. I said that Joe Musgrove was going to join Johnny Vandermeer as the only pitchers to throw no-hitters in back-to-back starts. Well, that didn't happen. In fact, the San Diego Padres got a rare loss to one of the worst teams in baseball in the Pittsburgh Pirates. And it just shows you one day you throw a no-hitter, the next day, well, you last four innings. Yeah, Musgrove got the loss. He still has a 0.47 ERA. Not bad so far, but the Pirates took that one. They're now 5-7, and San Diego is now 8-5. But hey, there was a no-hitter. Carlos Rodon, who was a first-round draft pick a few years ago, and everything's gone wrong in this poor kid's career. He's had Tommy John, shoulder injuries. He was terrible in the playoffs last year against Oakland. He was non-tendered, and the White Sox brought him back for an inexpensive contract. And here he took a perfect game into the ninth inning, hit a batter with one out in the ninth, but got the next two batters out. He threw yet another no-hitter. The White Sox seems to have a ton of no-hitters. They're like the anti-Padres. And just off the top of my head, I remember a pair of Mark Burley ones. And there was a Philip Umber one, and Lucas Giolito threw one. And then now you have Carlos Rodon throwing one. That's just off the top of my head. I think I'm missing one or two of them along the way. But here they are. It was a no-hitter. Coming off a day where Lucas Giolito pitched a great game the other day when they lost to Cleveland. Well, in this one, the White Sox just absolutely pummeled the Indians right out of the gate. The Indians usually get really good starting pitching. That's kind of their forte. But Plesac was knocked out in the first inning. And your man, Mercedes, he's my man, he's your man, Mercedes, got his third home run. He's only batting 500. Vaughn, who was my pick to win Rookie of the Year, is off to a slow start, but he got a big double and scored. Three hits for Madrigal. Moncada got a couple runs batted in. Robert got a couple hits and drove in a run. Eaton got a hit and scored a run early. But Rodon was the key. And when you think about it, they have Dallas Keuchel and Lance Lynn and Lucas Giolito. If Rodon can pitch like a decent number three or four starter, man, suddenly the White Sox are looking really good. I picked the White Sox to win the American League pennant. But that's just a really good look, especially for a team after they lost Eloy Jimenez, that there was a little bit of a gut punch going on in the south side of Chicago. You know what? Can't beat a night like this. And it's the type of night that maybe, just maybe, it can be a game that sort of sparks the franchise moving forward. Now, the Dodgers became the first 10-win franchise of 2021. They're now 10-2. Unbelievable that they lost the first game of the year and they look super sloppy. Well, they've been 10-1 since that sloppy game to the Colorado Rockies. This weekend, the Dodgers are playing the Padres. I know it's really early, but that is, by all definitions, a big series because those are the two teams that everybody, including your pal Sully, think are going to be at each other's throats to win the National League West. So those head-to-head games are going to mean a lot. And so that's starting up this weekend. Miami got another win, this one in extra innings. They blew the doors off the dump in Atlanta the other day. This was a 6-5 win. Mets won again against Philadelphia. Tampa Bay lost again. I mean, the American League East, other than the Red Sox, seem to be constantly finding ways to lose games. Oh, by the way, the Red Sox can't lose. Remember how horrible they were starting the year off, dropping their first three games? Well, now they're on a 9-game winning streak. They're on the verge of joining the Dodgers as the only 10-win teams in all of baseball. And they're beating the Twins. The Twins are a good team. Yeah, I know the Twins are 5-7. It's early. The Twins are a playoff-caliber team. And the Red Sox are on the verge of sweeping them. Now, the Angels lost convincingly to the Royals, 6-1. More good pitching for Milwaukee, and this time they actually had the temerity to score runs for them. And Burns got the win in a 7-0 victory over the Cubs. Remember how yesterday the Cardinals absolutely pummeled the Nationals and Steven Strasburg? It wasn't even funny. And today, the Nationals shut out the Cardinals as Ross went 6 shutout innings. Wainwright didn't pitch horribly, but he didn't pitch particularly well. I mean, he did let up 9 base runners in just 5 innings. I do want to bring up something here, and I'm going to get to a whole bunch of things later on in the podcast about how the game has changed over the years, and I swear it's not going to be old man Sully. But I want to point something out. We did have a complete game in the Carlos Rodon, just like we had a complete game with Joe Musgrove. It seems like the only way to throw a complete game these days is to throw a no-hitter. The Giants shut out Cincinnati. The Giants are off to a terrific start. The Reds got off to a blazing red start, but have really stubbed their toe in San Francisco. And there were only 5 base runners allowed by Giants pitching. In 9 innings, no runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and Johnny Cueto was pitched well. But the thing that I find interesting is 5 base runners were allowed, and a grand total of 5 San Francisco pitchers were used. It's like a pitcher per base runner. And with all of those changes being made, and granted, most of them were not done in the middle of an inning, the only, you know, Cueto was relieved in the 6th inning, and then everyone else, Webb, Rogers, McGee, they all came in to start the inning. So it wasn't like they were bringing in pitchers left and right. But that being said, isn't that weird? It's not like anyone was getting the doors blown off. And there was really only one that was removed after a pinch hitter. Rogers pitched the 8th, and Flores came in as a pinch hitter. McGee pitched the 9th. Giants got the 3-1 victory. Not going to blame anybody there. And it was a pretty fast game. It was 2 hours and 30 minutes, so it was a brisk game. But it's interesting that the game has evolved in a way where, you know, 4 hits, 1 walk, takes 5 pitchers to do that. I'm going to address a little bit of that in the next segment because there are some things that have changed and evolved in the game, and not necessarily in a bad way. I'm not saying it's in a bad way. I'm just saying it's in a way that we have to acknowledge if we want to talk about moving the pace of play in baseball That is a topic, a baseball topic you hear a lot about. And you hear all sorts of topics about sports if you use Locker Room. Now, let me tell you something. We're bringing you Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, insiders. I did a Locker Room right after the Joe Musgrove no-hitter. You know, you'll find fans just like you on the Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, if you're reacting to the big news or rumors. And you can find the Locked On hosts across baseball, basketball, NHL. I'm going to be doing another one soon coming up, and I will leave announcements for that online. Here's what you got to do. You download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. I can't wait to join you all on the app, and I'll be sure to let you know once the Locked On MLB room is live the next time. Here's what you got to do. Download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room is changing the way that we talk about sports. And I'll also tell you something. RockAuto.com should be changing the way you are getting parts for your car. Here's the deal. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody. They're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices available rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody. It doesn't require membership or an account login. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even a new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get anything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's at rockauto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. An article came out, I think it was in The Athletic. I actually don't even care. It was about some of the rules that were being bandied about in the Atlantic League that Major League Baseball is going to try and potentially integrate with their baseball this year. And I don't find any reason to go over any of them. One of them is to move the mound back a little bit. Okay, I'm sure there's a reason for that. One is to do the double hook that once you pull your starting pitcher out of the game, you lose the DH. Kind of like that idea. It's fine. I like late inning strategies of do you bring a pinch hitter here? Do you double switch here? I like that. It's kind of quirky. I prefer my idea, which is you get to use four pitchers in a nine inning game. After nine innings, you can use anyone you want, but you get to use four pitchers. And if that first pitcher goes nine, then guess what? You don't have to use those other three, but it prevents you from just making pitching change after pitching change. Those are like, okay, fine, great. That's pushing peas around a plate. Because if the idea of all these rule changes and the three batter minimum rule, which actually has slowed down the game, and this or that, or a clock on this, or putting making the add time shorter there, it doesn't address the issue. The pace of play in baseball is going to continue to be slow. Why is the pace of baseball continuing to be slow? Because every single advancement in baseball in this century, millennium, however you want to say it, since the turn of the millennium, every advancement in baseball has been designed to slow the game down. And teams have become successful and built up their box office and won championships
and put on huge win totals and sell merchandise and sell TV rights and everything like that by playing a brand of baseball that is slowing everything down. And to ask people to go away from that, if you tell a front office and say, we have to do things that will speed up the game, it is the antithesis of what every team is doing. Now, this is not me being old man Sully, and I'm going to be big time not old man Sully in the final segment of today's show. But listen to me for a second. I've been watching a lot of the 1972 postseason for this book project that I'm writing about October of 1972. And it is startling to see how fast-paced those games are, how fast they are. We've seen games like you're comparing the Bill Mazeroski home run game, which was, I think, 10-9 in nine innings, and then the 10-9 game between the Yankees and the Indians in last year's postseason. Even when you take out the rain delay, it was played twice as long. You look at games in the 70s, they were much faster because the strategies that we have in baseball now purposely slow it down. It purposely grinds the game to a slower pace. If you eschew the stolen base, if you say it's not worth it to steal a base because you're better off having a runner on first than having a runner getting thrown out at second, you can crunch the numbers and say, yeah, the risk of constantly running and trying to steal bases is not a smart one. Now, in the 70s and the 80s, they were running bases left and right. The 80s was like the absolute salad days for stolen base kings. I mean, if Ricky Henderson played today, he would probably have 25 or 30 stolen bases a year. Same for Tim Raines, same for Vince Coleman, because teams don't steal bases. You crunch the numbers. And again, I'm not trying to say that the sabermetrics world and the analytics world are wrong. In fact, they're probably demonstrably correct. But a result of removing the running game is you're going to slow the game down. The excitement over what is going to happen when a runner's on base, you know what's going to happen? They're going to stay there until they're moved over to second or go from first to third on a hit. But the idea of he's going. Well, I mean, some teams still steal some bases, but not in the way that they used to. Here's the other thing. The walk is cherished in a way that it didn't used to be. And that is smart. There's no getting around that. If the key for an at-bat is to not make an out, then the walk used to be severely undervalued, absolutely undervalued. In fact, we used to criticize, Red Sox fans used to criticize Wade Boggs for focusing too much on getting walks and not getting doubles and home runs. And we didn't realize what we were witnessing is one of the great on-base performances in the history of baseball. We're all too stupid to understand that. But if you work out walks, what are you doing? You grind out at-bats. At-bats take longer. You're not swinging at borderline pitches, which brings us to another thing. Statistically, people have not been as afraid or ashamed, whatever the version you want to use, to strike out. Strikeout totals are through the roof. And a big part of it is players don't mind whiffing. Just the other day, Mike Trout struck out four times. Best player in baseball. You see strikeout totals of 10, 15, 16 strikeouts per game. Not from one starter, but combined. That's not even eye-catching anymore. Because players would rather strike out than ground into a double play or line into a double play. There used to be a stigma for striking out. It used to be, the concept was get on base by getting a hit And that first pitch might be the best one to go for. It is truly startling to watch baseball from the 70s and the 80s and to see how many people are swinging first pitch, how few people are grinding out at bats. And if you grind out an at bat, what are you going to do? It's going to be more pitches. You're going to see so many three ball, two strike counts. So many three ball, one strike counts. So many two and two counts. Foul ball, foul ball, foul ball. And that's smart. You grind it out. But it slows things down. And that's it's a smart way to play baseball, to get people on base, to keep the carousel running, to not waste an out by running from first to second. Statistically, bunting someone from first to second doesn't make sense. Now, bunting someone from second to third with nobody out late in the game where you're trying to tie the game or get the go-ahead run in, yeah, that might make sense, but it doesn't make sense to bunt them from first to second. And so you've stopped that. But do you know what? When you have a bunt play, batters, the runner's going, the infielder's coming in, there's the possibility of the ball being thrown away or being misfielded. That could make the game a little more exciting, especially because so many of those teams in the 70s or 80s, practically the entire National League, with a couple of exceptions, were all playing on artificial turf. And so the speed game was necessary. You had to take advantage of the speed game because the ball just flew on that turf. It wasn't about hitting a big home run, but getting a ball into the gap and going first to third, having jackrabbits on the base paths, stealing bases, and having people playing on that artificial turf. And sometimes some of the people learned how to bounce it to get it to first base from the infield because that was a smarter way to play. It was faster. We're not playing on artificial turf. That's not the way the game is designed right now. A team like the 2015 Kansas City Royals are an outlier. And that's just talking from the hitting point of view. From the pitching point of view, if the idea is for the batters to grind out the starting staff to get to the bullpen, and we're doing pitch counts, again, this is not me being old man Sully. This is me stating things. We have pitchers on pitch counts that we didn't used to have. And so therefore, if you're grinding them out and you're trying to get a pitcher out in the fifth inning, well, then guess what? You're removing pitchers and that slows the pace of the game down. And someone came up with the idea and probably has all the data to back it up that the pitcher gets through the order first. First time through the order is fine. Second time through the order is fine. Third time through the order, not so good. So instead of risking that, and the fact that we have so many relievers now who can chuck it up there in the high 90s, which did not used to be the case, why take the risk of the third time through the order being a flop when you can bring in a fireballer who's fresh and mows them down? And you bring in a bunch of relievers. Great. That's smart. That certainly worked for Los Angeles and Tampa Bay last year. But it slows things down. All these things are smart, but none of them speed up the game. And when you look at teams and say, hey, all the stuff that you've learned, all the stuff that we figured out, all the stuff that we have now have a real idea about on-base percentage, about the quality of pitchers two times through the order, one time through the order, and using all of the defensive shifts, which also are smart to do. But that also means fewer balls get into the infield, get through the infield, I mean. These are all things that are intelligent to do and help your team win. The teams that lag behind in the analytics department tend to also lag behind in the standings department. So if you're trying to win, if you're doing the, was it Herm Edwards? Was it you were, hello, you play to win the game. If your idea is to win, then you should engage in the strategies that are more intelligent for putting more runs on the scoreboard than the other team. And yet, every one of these advances slow the game down. You don't have a pitcher going nine, which speeds things up. You don't have all these pitching changes. You don't have batters swinging at the first pitch or trying not to strike out and just make sure ball is put in play. You don't have them valuing the walk, so they're not grinding out at bats. You see them stealing and bunting and going first to third and trying to do hit and runs. If you eliminate all those things, because statistically show that they're actually not good strategy, which they probably aren't, well, guess what? You're going to have a slower game. The pace of play is going to be slower. So we almost have to come up with a choice here. What is it we want? Do we want to see teams putting together the best strategies to win? Or do we want to put together the best strategy to have a fast-paced game? Because right now they seem to be in conflict. Right now they don't seem to be gelling. And telling teams to say, hey, stop with all this other stuff that slows the game down is like coming up to some of these movie studios and saying, hey, stop making superhero movies. Well, they work. Whether or not you particularly like superhero movies or whether or not that's your cup of tea, they're successful. And whether or not you like analytics and whether or not you like the advancements of the game, that's not even what this discussion's about. The fact of the matter is every one of these advancements slows the game down. And so you have to ask yourself, which is more important? The strategy to win games or changes that will make real change to speeding the game up? Getting down, Bunsen burner down to the granular lowest common denominator of what is slowing the game down. It's not where the size of the base. It's not about a ghost runner on second base in extra innings. It's not about where you put the mound or the rubber. That's like saying, hey, your computer's overloaded. Oh, really? Yeah, you don't have enough disk space. Oh, we'll start deleting Word files. No, that's not going to make any difference. There are some major changes to the game that have been going on now for a couple of decades. And teams have had tremendous success because of them. And if we want to speed the game up, if that is the goal, and on whether or not you want to have baseball the way it was in the 70s and 80s, or you like the way it is now, you just think they can market it better, those are two very different conversations. But if you want to improve the pace of play, then take a good, long, hard look at the things that have slowed it down. And making minor changes, quite frankly, are just not worth it. And that, my friend, is something you can bet on. And if you want to bet on something, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football may be over, but you have the NBA Finals coming up, you got the Stanley Cup Finals coming up, and of course, you got baseball. BetOnline covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code LOCKEDON. Hey, we want to talk about Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Be a waiver wire winner with a Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data, analytics, that's what we were talking about earlier, and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I just want to quickly bring up the fact that it is indeed Jackie Robinson Day. And I always just think about the thing about the integration of baseball that for me is, well, quite frankly, the most heartbreaking thing about the segregation of baseball is the fact that we missed out on great players. This isn't even about the social justice. This isn't even about the inequity that had happened before. It's the fact that for so many years, the players like Oscar Charleston and Josh Gibson and Buck Leonard and Turkey Stearns and Cool Papa Bell and Judy Johnson, all these names are kind of phantom names that we think about them. Oh, they could have been great players here or there, but we don't know where exactly they would fit in. And we don't know which one of them would have been great players in the Negro Leagues, but not quite work out in the major leagues. And we don't know if there was someone who was not a huge star in the Negro Leagues who would have been a superstar in the major leagues. There are plenty of people who, like, you know, Terry Francona was the best college baseball player, and everyone thought he was going to be a superstar. It didn't quite work out for him. Nobody expected Mike Piazza to do piddly-poo, and he became a Hall of Famer. Same thing for Keith Hernandez, not a Hall of Famer, but he was like, what, a 40th round draft pick? Becomes the National League Most Valuable Player in 1979. Shared it with Willie Stargell, but that's not the point. There's plenty of instances of this player surprised you, this player was can't miss who missed, this player was can't miss who hit. And so we don't know. And the entire history of baseball could have been rewritten if some of the players who we don't know could have played in certain times. And not just because it would have been fair to them, but it also would have been fair to the Babe Ruths and the Walter Johnsons and the Ty Cobbs and the Tris Speakers of the world. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm not a big fan of WAR just because I'm not a huge proponent of it. I don't know how it's calculated. So therefore, part of me is kind of weird about referring to it. But I just want to go to something. Top 24 in terms of career WAR, all right, includes Bonds, Mays, Aaron, A-Rod, Ricky Henderson, Frank Robinson. Okay. Those six would not have been allowed to play in the era of integration. Okay. But then you look at some of the other people like Ruth, Walter Johnson, Cy Young, Ty Cobb, Tris Speaker, Honus Wagner, Stan Musial, Rogers Hornsby, Eddie Collins. You have Ted Williams, Grover Cleveland Alexander, Kid Nichols, Lou Gehrig. You have Mel Ott. You have Mantle. You have Napoleon Lajoie. Now, they didn't play against integrated teams. So their numbers, their all-time numbers, are from a watered-down product. A watered-down product. Because just imagine fielding a team where you can't have any African-American players. You're going to have players from the Caribbean. You're going to have players from any place like Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, any place like that. You couldn't have any players other than white dudes who happen to live near a train station. That's who you got. That was the talent pool. And so when you look at some of those players, you go like, man, they did not play against the best. There was a Mariano Rivera that Babe Ruth didn't have to face. You realize that, right? There was a Ken Griffey Jr. that Walter Johnson didn't have to pitch to. You go down the line here, and there are players who they didn't have to compete against. And so that, and the fact that some of those players, I just listed off a bunch of them, the Gibsons and all of them, they could have been associated with some of these teams the way that Walter Johnson was associated with the Washington Senators, Babe Ruth with the Yankees, Rogers Hornsby with the Cardinals. It could have been, when you think of Josh Gibson, you think of the Phillies instead of where would he have fit? And what teams would have won titles then? What teams would have won a championship then? How would the history of baseball been different? One thing I do know is there were a lot of people at that time who were against integration. And part of me is glad it did not happen in an era of Twitter and of social media. Because, man, would the Dodgers be called woke or social justice warriors? Would they be told to stick to baseball, traditions? Would Ben Chapman have his own talk show? So we got to listen to his side of the story. We got to listen to their side of the story because, do you know what? Their opinion is just as valid. And, oh, yeah, here's the thing they never talk about in terms of the integration of baseball, which if you read anything or C42 or whatever like that, you would think it just sprang from the brain of Branch Rickey, who found this anointed player playing in the Negro Leagues and Jackie Robinson. There was a huge push all through the 1930s to integrate baseball. And the people who were pushing it tended to be African-American writers in the press and American left-wing radicals. Can you imagine that would have been how, in this day and age, that the whole idea of integration would have been the product of the communists and everything, which was probably how it was being written about then, which is bizarre when you keep in mind that Jackie Robinson was actually quite a conservative person. And until Goldwater took over, he was a Republican. But it would have been portrayed as that and was portrayed as that. And Chapman would be, what, a hero for the politically incorrect now or something? Well, he would be called canceled. Branch Rickey would be a social justice warrior. Would this be a topic to say stick to baseball? If you are against any of the racial positions that baseball has taken recently, and boy, is it a stretch to call baseball anything but a conservative enterprise. But if you have your problem with that and yet still stand and salute when all the players are wearing 42, ask yourself, what would your position have been back in 1947? I've stuck to baseball for the most part, but I think that's a worthy question to ask. And with that, I move on. So go to the free and easy to use Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. This has been Locked On MLB for the 15th day of April 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.